Welcome to this week's episode of the CPG View, the number one CPG information source for global omnichannel leaders. Today's episode is proudly brought to you by Vizzit, the visual AI platform that's revolutionizing the way brands secure consumer attention, boost sales, and win every moment with consumers with advantaged visual content. With Vizzit, you can increase conversion up to 45%, grow online sales up to 30%, and drive increases in traffic of up to 25%. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your visual content and outshine your competition with Vizzit. Head to Vizzit.com, V-I-Z-I-T.com, to learn more and start captivating your target audience today. Sam, thank you so much for joining this week's episode of the CPG View. You know, our mission is to be the number one information source for global omnichannel leaders, and I can't think of anyone better to have on than you. Before we get started and dive in, would you mind introducing yourself and the company you're with?
Sure, Don. Appreciate it very much. My name is Sam Martz, and I currently have just joined Sanofi as their head of North American e-commerce. But I've also had stints with Reckitt and Coca-Cola in the e-commerce world, and excited to be part of your podcast and excited to talk about e-commerce.
Awesome. Well, you and I have known each other for some years now, and our careers have followed somewhat similar paths. So I'm interested to see where this conversation will take us. So, you know, as we think about this, the evolution in CPG, your experience, to your point, you've been at brands like Reckitt, you've been at brands like Coca-Cola. How have you seen strategies evolve in the CPG space over the years?
I think it's been interesting, right? Let's see, 2010, I think I started my journey, and it was very sort of brand-led. You must own the brand terms, things like that. And then we started getting smarter and understanding about what the category looked like. And I think what started to happen in the CPG world is, as we've gotten smarter and been able to connect with consumers in the right way, we've been able to meet the consumers where they are, right? We sort of think about sort of the path to meet, right? And we've all gone through this world where you could all get it on Amazon, but now we're realizing that the consumer may want to buy it on Amazon today, but they may want to buy it on Walmart.com and pick it up tomorrow. And we're really starting to get smart in that way. I'm also seeing a huge leap forward from a content perspective and a definite understanding of kind of how the consumer shops on those platforms. I'll give you a really quick example. My kids, they're 9 and 11. And I share this story. I used to share it at Coke all the time. Tell me about a time, or use the last time you went to the store, Brett. How many people did you see in that store? Let's say use a grocery store for a second. How many people in that store were less than age 15? How many people did you see in that store?
Not many.
Yep. So the question in everyone's mind should go to, where are kids learning how to shop? And I think that if we start to use those things and we understand where are kids learning how to shop, my kids, typically it's Amazon, and then how are they learning how to shop? Are they browsing? Are they typing? Are they talking to Alexa? Now, my kids, I hate to say this, I don't really want to throw them under the bus, their spelling isn't great, right? So they typically will tell Alexa what they want to see.
Yeah.
So now it's becoming a voice recognition thing. Now it's becoming more of a world where what my daughter thinks the true thing that she wants to see versus the translation of whatever that is in a digital world. It's much like when you tell me I want a soda, but I respond with I want a pop. Mm-hmm.
Great point. A really great point. Yeah, I haven't thought about the question you posed of how many were under the age of 15. I think that's a really insightful question, especially as we think about And I was talking to someone the other day, and he's starting a business. He's a former executive at a large corporation. He's starting his own business, and they're doing great. You know, they'll hit a few million dollars in I think the beginning of next year. And we were discussing channel strategy, and the topic came up of, hey, like should I be on Amazon or should I not? And you know, just as a friend, we were talking, and it's one of those points of, if 60 to 70% of the searches, depending on what study you look at what time of the year, start on Amazon, and Amazon's a proxy for e-commerce in the US at 40, 50%, but globally, it's just e-commerce, right? Just phones, right. Like, you know, exactly the point you're making of, or on Alexa speaking into the device, or, but meeting the consumer where he or she is a tremendous point. And I think it is a distinct inverse relationship to what did exist when you and I started on our journey. It was more, and I don't think it was ever intended to be this way, but I can recall back to specific, for instances, it was like, we don't care where he or she is. This is how we will do what we're going to do. Yep. And they will come to us. And that's interesting how that's totally flipped on its head now.
Yeah, and I think we're starting to see brands starting to really embrace that a little bit, right? You know, I want to go on a journey with a brand. You may want to go on a journey with a brand, and that journey may be very different. Or I may be looking for features of a brand. You may be looking for different features, and meeting that consumer where they are, I think, is what brands are starting to learn. And I think they're starting to evolve in that space and really get to a point where, you know, consumers can connect with them. I'll give you another example. A really cool example is, and something I've learned in my day, when I worked with Reckitt, what we found was, we really wanted to sell cough and cold medicine online, right? But when you look at Amazon and Amazon's delivering promise, that didn't necessarily meet where the consumer was. And so what we found was, if we focused on more things like last mile, and we focused more things like pickup, that connected with the consumer, because they weren't looking for cough cold medicine 2 days from now. They really wanted it 2 hours ago. And being able to connect with a consumer and ultimately sell on the feature of the delivery promise, versus necessarily not just the benefit. Now you can make it just an and versus an or, really started to increase our ability to connect with that consumer.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I'm going to circle back to one of the questions we have here and go to actually one of the ones I think you have so much experience in, and that is, you know, cross-functional leadership. As you know, you think about your journey similar to mine, I feel like many of us, we all have been on this parallel path over the past decade or two. But you know, leading a team of cross-functional members with the requires a unique blend of hard and soft skills. And you know, wanted to get your perspective on fostering collaboration and innovation within your teams. What have you found works? What have you found hasn't worked as well with regards to digital transformations that you've been at a multitude of companies, just maybe one or two that maybe stand out?
Yeah, I think as I think about sort of the digital journey of each place I've been, they've been very different. But something that sort of stands the test of time and a true understanding of kind of how digital is going to work, right? If you go back to the nuts and bolts of it, how someone thinks across an organization, from how data works, how product flows, and ultimately how the money and process flows. And those folks tend to do very, very well. Someone that can kind of think on those three spectrums and understand, oh, if I'm making a product go from A to B, how much does that cost? And where is the data coming across the organization, and who's touching it, and how am I consuming that data in a unique way as I get more efficient? Because, you know, as you and I both know, and many of the paths that we've crossed, you know, we leverage all of these capabilities, and how do we become faster How do we become more nimble? How do we become automated? Are all the questions we get from the C-suite. And being able to connect in with that data and harvest data and create data are very, very unique capabilities and things that we do versus somewhat I would call the offline type of world, right? And then truly understanding and being at the razor's edge of how a P&L operates and understanding the choices that you're making and the effects on that P&L are truly important. So it becomes sort of a connection. I envision it as a triangle in my head and how those angles of the triangle start to move, right? And I think it's extremely important for anyone taking their journey in the space to think across those worlds and making sure that they are extremely, you know, they're paying attention to their people. They're helping their people through that process because not everyone can think that way. And I think that everyone is building muscles and they're all in a different space. And so helping teams understand what muscle I need to build more and what skills I need to bring into the organization. And then ultimately leveraging those skills to share across the organization. All too often, Don, I think you and I have both experienced this in our worlds, is we end up building silos because we work so fast. And I think one trick is if you're able to create a capability that allows you to share more information, share metrics, you know, share capabilities, share skills across the organization outside of your silo, it starts to break down those walls. It helps folks understand why digital is so important because, you know, as you and I just talked about, there will be a day when e-commerce is no longer commerce, it's just commerce, right? It's just how we do things. And I think from a digital perspective, when things get wired in the right way, we'll get to that space and we'll be able to truly have built organizations that are data-led, that are focused in capabilities and skill building, and ultimately looking for places to drive automations and efficiencies.
In the race for shoppers' attention and budgets, the goal isn't just more content, but syndicating the right content. Images that don't just fill spaces, but win hearts and drive sales. But how do you know what will capture attention and convert? Enter the era of content effectiveness. Visit's groundbreaking AI, made available to you within Salsify, ensures your content isn't just seen, but felt. Compelling consumers with images that make every moment count. With the click of a button, your content is automatically analyzed and rearranged to optimize the appeal of your PDP content for who matters most, your shoppers. Like a 24/7 AI merchandiser at your service, this revolutionary technology identifies and prioritizes the content that maximizes conversion with consumers, taking your online presence to a whole new level. Great content boosts sales, and the future of your e-commerce success hinges on the content decisions you make today. So activate, visit, and Salsify, and watch consumer interest soar, sell more, and make your best product content automatic.
Yeah, great, great point. I totally agree with you. I think one of the things I've found as well, to your point, has been, oftentimes e-commerce is, we were talking about this the other day in another conversation, is, you know, e-commerce is, if you take brick and mortar, which is about 80% of the total in U.S. retail sales, it's like a cruise ship. It's steady eddy, it's charted its course way back, and it's very cyclical. The in cap at the grocery store or the home center or the mass channel is going to be there for 3 months, and then it's going to switch, and that's planned out for the next X period of time. Well, what we are, is like, it's deceptive because I would say we're like a jet ski. E-commerce is like a jet ski, but it's almost 20%. So it's meaningful. This is not 1% of the total. When, you and I started our journeys, it was a very nominal percentage. This is a large percentage. And if we look outside of our borders And we look at China, and China's 50%, you know, penetration rate of e-commerce of the total in China. Or we look in areas of other areas of the world, like the UK, where it's, you know, 30%, South Korea, where it's 30%. And we're at 15, let's just say. That will continue to change, and it's going to happen quickly. What I've found is, I really like your point around sharing, building capabilities and muscle to share out on a very nimble, agile, and cyclical basis, to where as you're quickly building, you're quickly sharing laterally, and then you go up one further rung, and then you share again, you go up. So it allows you to continue to operate at speed of the jet ski, but you aren't getting so disconnected from the broader enterprise that, to your point, you have two silos that are so large now that they're not talking effectively.
Yep. And I think that it's really huge to be able to kind of wire with those things, right? And to get collaborative, you know, with your head of sales, with your head of marketing, ensure that they understand where you're going, what you're doing, and you're all sort of trying to do it together. I think is super important, because, you know, as those walls build up because of the speed and the pressure that is on all of us to do, in many cases, more with less, it's imperative that you're able to build those skills across the organization, right? Not just for e-com, but, you know, for sales and e-commerce, or, you know, supply chain, as you think about it.
Great point.
Because I think that that's the way that we will become, that's the way we'll transform into these new organizations and ultimately be the best that we can be.
Yeah, great point. I wanted to close out with a question here on, as you think ahead on the horizon, and as we look ahead, what do you see being the next big trend or challenge in e-commerce, specifically for CPG? You know, you've had experiences at the many various companies you've been at, and we've seen trends. You know, I think both of us can recall when social, when that wave took off, and both of us obviously now are, you know, seeing the wave of retail media that'll be 50 billion, I believe, this year, and it'll be 100 billion in the next 3 to 4 years plus. But, you know, so we have those points of reference in our experience. What do you think is the next big thing that you're thinking about?
I think, you know, there's some short terms and long terms, right? We have, I think, you know, retail media is on the forefront of everyone's mind, right? And how you leverage retail media to do the right things. And I think we'll continue over time to get there. And it will be a push and pull, you know, where our audience is, how are we connecting with audiences. In fact, the last couple of days, the new announcements from Snap and Instagram, I think are enormous shifts in how things look. However, we still haven't disrupted the supply chain of things, right? That still sort of operates at scale. And I know there's many, many, many different companies out there trying to figure out how to make this thing work. And how do I create SKUs that, you know, are efficiently created, efficiently moved, and efficiently, you know, stacked on a shelf or packed? So I think there's a couple different sort of ways or sort of big nuggets that are coming forth. You're seeing Amazon move to one day, right? So that says to me that the speed to the customer is a really big deal, and they see that as well. And they're creating these nodes that are things that are going to be very true to them. And that's probably in concert to Walmart's advantage against an Amazon, so to speak. Now, how does everyone else start to compete that way and really treat their inventory in their store as an advantage to them and the closeness to the end consumer? I remember in my Coke days, I used to say, man, that we had, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 600 sales centers, right? And I used to say, what if we could ship the product straight from the sales center to everyone's home? We're closer than Amazon could ever dream of being. That was a long time ago when I said that. Now I'm probably eating those words, but the uniqueness of how I get as close to the consumer as possible and be able to connect with them in a unique way. Now, will all that always happen from a screen at my desk? I'm not sure. And I'm thinking that some things that have happened in China, where there's more interaction, you know, envision a world where you might walk into a grocery store and a lot of the inventory is sitting in a basement or a back room or something like that. And the product starts to come, you know, over the walls or up the stairs because you've already ordered those things. And you start connecting with brands that are things that are, you know, of more value to you, might be your meats, your veg, your things that aren't necessarily as true staples as you know, flour or you know, milk or something like that. I know a lot of brands hate to hear that, but I think that's where we'll start to head very, very shortly. And then what does that look like? So now I start connecting with a brand in a 3D type of world. Is it VR? I don't know, but I can imagine a whole bunch of screens right now in a grocery store, and I'm connecting with them and maybe having a coffee with a friend when I meet with them. And then I go play pickleball right next door, you know, things like that. It's kind of the experience of the path to purchase. So I say all this because I think the path to purchase in an e-commerce way for every single brand and category needs to be worked out. I don't know whether, you know, every single category has truly worked itself out in that stage and how that looks digitally. I know we've done a ton of work from an omni perspective. And, you know, I think digitally is something that we'll probably need to work out here in the near future as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, I envision a world that's probably more, you know, let's call it 40, 50% e-commerce, maybe in 10 years. I know that might be a little bullish, but it's the way my kids think and how I see them operate, because like we talked about earlier, they're the next buyers. And they have no interest in being in a store, and I think that's the world that'll need to change. So a grocery store with the long aisles and kind of a unique experience, I think that is what will change for many CPG companies, and how we respond to that is going to be very, very important in the journey that we go on to connect with your kids and my kids.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, we've spoken to some others on this podcast from Coke. We've spoken to some others that are, you know, providers that create, you know, devices that go on shopping carts that can tell you what's in the shopping cart. You don't have to, you don't go to your point. You definitely don't go to a checkout line and put it on the belt, but you also don't even go to the checkout line where you check out yourself. This is, you know, the Amazon Go, if you will. It's the tech is on the shopping cart and you just leave with the product. Like as you put it in, it debits your account. And I agree with you. I think there's more that we don't know than we do know. That being said, what you and I both agree on is it will be materially different in 10 years than it is now. And I would bet a good amount of money that we will be closer to 40-50% penetration rate in the US, similar to the way China is in that period of time. And I guess time will tell. But Sam, I wanted to thank you so much for being on this week's episode of the CPG View. You know, as we talked about before, our mission is to educate, encourage, and empower high impact omnichannel leaders. And having you on is putting us a continued step in that direction. So I just wanted to say thank you.
I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to talking much, much more in the future.
Awesome. Thanks, Sam. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the CPG View, the number one CPG information source for global omnichannel leaders. Mm-hmm.